Moshe, good morning. As always, our limud of Hilchas Lashon Hara is l'schus refuah of Yosef Dobben Chayla b'soy shoy chayli yisro. So somebody came up to me after davening and said, and I'm gonna ask you whether or not you think this is Lashon Hara. Okay, last night in a certain Beis HaMedrash in the area, there was a Seder Limud, and a lot of people came. People were learning, b'chavrus, etc. And one of the treats or rewards for learning in the evening, Seder, was that they give cholent and kegel. Hot cholent and kegel, they've got hot plates there, and they give hot cholent and kegel to all the participants, the people who learn. They either eat it while they're learning, or they eat it after they're learning, etc. Somebody came over to me this morning in davening, after davening, sorry, and he said to me, have you seen the way they left the kitchen? Yeah, it's a pigsty. The dustbin overflowing, foil dishes on the floor, plates on the floor, plastic cutlery on the floor, etc., etc. You know, it's disgusting. So I said to him, well, there's supposed to be a cleaner last night. He said, even if a cleaner's coming, he said, how can you leave the place like that? Okay, is that Lashon Hara? Is he speaking Lashon Hara about persons unknown who are members of the evening Seder Limud? Is that Lashon Hara? So let's talk through what today's halacha would be, or what today's halacha is. The Chofetz Chaim says that if two people speak Lashon Hara one after the other, so therefore the person who's hearing the Lashon Hara has already heard it from someone else, he says both of them are over on Sipur Lashon Hara. Both of them are over on speaking Lashon Hara. L'dugma. Somebody walks in, I wrote this down, somebody walks into a shop and says, where is the idiot? Yeah? Is there anybody in this shop called R. Joseph? Yeah? Where is that idiot? Yeah, what's his? He's parked outside, he's double parked. Yeah, double parked outside the shop. As a result of which, the dust cart can't get through, the bus can't get through, people are hooting and screaming, etc., etc. And how do you know whose car it is? Because he's got a number plate, RJ05EPH. Yeah, R. Joseph. Yeah, or I worked out a few of these for you. E13ERT. Yeah? Is Abert. Yeah? And I had GR05NSS. He's not here, where is he? GR05NSS.
He's here.
Yeah? Okay, making coffee cross nas. Yeah? And H4RIS. He's also not here. He's around? H4RIS, is that your number plate? Anyway, we want to know who's the idiot who double parked outside, right? He's created a pandemonium outside, people are hooting, the police can't get through, the buses can't get through, the fire engine can't get through, all because he has double parked in order to come in and buy himself a cream cake. Fine. So that's the first guy who's come in and told Lashon Hara about H4RIS or whoever, E13ERT, whoever it is. Yeah. Then, yeah, somebody else walks in. And exactly the same thing. Have you seen what's going on outside? Some idiot with a number plate. I don't know. Which one haven't I mentioned? Yeah? M-I-O-S-H-Y. Yeah? M-10-S-H-Y. Yeah? Somebody called Moishi, yeah, has parked his car outside, double parked. Da, 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 da. So therefore now everybody's heard the story twice. Yeah, another example they give is, and that's why it's going to bring me to my shalah of the one that I mentioned at the beginning, which is, the example brought in one of the Sforim is that somebody comes home on Motzei Shabbos, lives in Israel, yeah, he's got a dira on the second floor, and there's another family on the first floor. And he comes home Motzei Shabbos, and he walks in and he says to his wife, or the family, said, have you seen the way they left the hallway? The kids played, yeah, the Goldstein kids downstairs. Played all afternoon, Shabbos afternoon, and now there are sweet wrappers and nush wrappers and books and all sorts of stuff, the toys, stuff strewn all over the place. It's a chazashtal, it's a pigsty, it's disgusting. Yeah? So, and then, a few minutes later, his son comes home, and his son repeats exactly the same story to the family, saying, have you seen, I came up the stairs, and look at the way that the family below have left the stairs after the kids played Shabbos afternoon. So it's like this, says the Chofetz Chaim. First of all, it's Zichel Lashon Hara. We're speaking Lashon Hara about the Goldstein kids. We're speaking Lashon Hara about the parents who don't look after them, whatever it is. So therefore, it's Zichel Lashon Hara. He says, to hear the Lashon Hara the second time over, after you've already got the information, is also Lashon Hara. And I remember from another limud that we had, that the proof was from Yeshayo, who was accused of saying Lashon Hara. Even Miriam, who said Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah? But it was Yeshayo who complained to the Rabbeinu Shloilam. Besoich am tameis vasayim anoichi yoishev. Yeah, and he wasn't telling the Rabbeinu Shem any news that the Rabbeinu Shem didn't know already. He was, although he was speaking Lashon Hara, and he was punished for speaking Lashon Hara against Klal Yisrael, nevertheless, he wasn't telling the Rabbeinu Shem information that Rabbeinu Shem didn't know anyway. So therefore, even if you know the information already, and somebody else comes in and tells it to you again, the second person is also over. The second person who comes into the shop is over, and the second one. Now, if the husband were to come home on Motzei Shabbos, and he'd seen the pigsty downstairs, and he would call his wife into a private room and say to her, look, I came through upstairs, I saw the situation downstairs and the way that they left it, maybe you could have a quiet word with Mrs. Goldstein and ask her if she can look after the kids better, or if she can clear up after them, or whatever it is. That's already l'toyeles. That's already Lashon Hara l'toyeles. They were going to achieve something, but there are ways of doing it. He can't do it in front of the entire family. Yeah, he could do it privately to his wife and say, or he himself doesn't have to say anything. Maybe he can speak to Mr. Goldstein, in which case he doesn't even have to tell his wife. But if it's l'toyeles, then we're going to allow him to speak. But now, so come back to my example of what happened this morning, when somebody tells me about the way that the people from the Chabura last night left the kitchen after eating their children giggle, yeah, that the fact is, that says the Chofetz Chaim, you're not allowed to speak against Klal Yisrael. You're not allowed to speak against a body of people, or a sector of people, or a sect, or a chelik of Klal Yisrael, even in general terms, never mind not mentioning specific names. So therefore, Pashtus, what tachlis was there in Ploini coming to me and saying to me, have you seen the way that the people from the Chabura last night left the kitchen? What a pigsty, disgusting. Yeah? He was letting off steam, if he liked. It might have been a geschmack, a little bit of Lashon Hara that he fancied speaking. I'm speaking Lashon Hara about him now. Yeah, but you don't know who he is. If I'd mentioned his name, clearly it would be Lashon Hara to say that Ploini spoke Lashon Hara to me. To say that you didn't mention the names of the people who were there last night doesn't make a difference. First of all, it would be Shayach. Certainly, some of the people who he's told, and he's probably told other people besides me, would know some of the people who were there last night. Although those people, the particular ones that he's speaking about, might not be the ones. Or Baal Kol upon him, you've got to stop and think about it. When he came over to me after davening, and he's telling me what, he's upset about it, he's incensed about it, he wants to let off steam. But the fact is, it's clear Lashon Hara. He's speaking Lashon Hara against the people from the Chabura last night and the way that they left the kitchen after they'd had their Jonathan giggle.
Are you never allowed to voice criticism?
Pardon?
Are you never allowed to voice criticism? Yeah,
what I said to you was, and that's what we were speaking about with the story of the Goldstein children on the floor below, is if there's a tachlis to it, if there is a toyeles to it, if there's a purpose in telling, yeah, if the guy comes up and says, look at the way the children downstairs left all their rubbish on the landing and that sort of thing, maybe you can have a quiet word with their mother.
He had a purpose.
That's a purpose.
He wanted things to change. He wanted there to be a climate of opinion whereby people would not leave the kitchen in a mess.
Okay, so what's the point in telling me? Go and speak to the organiser. Go and speak to the organiser. Go and speak to the people who run it. Go and speak to the guy who donated the children to the giggle. Yeah? Put up a notice next week. Yeah, in the kitchen, say, please leave the kitchen as you would like to find it. There are ways of doing it, but just for him to tell me, after davening, he said to me, go inside the kitchen, look at the way, look at the way they left it.
You put pressure on them.
Pardon?
You put pressure on them and get it done.
I don't think he was hoping that I'll put pressure on them. He was just having a schmooze.
Like the Torah in Northwest London Friday, April 19th, Rabbi Benji Morgan Shlita, Pesach. Breaking free from our own personal mitzvahim. This week's Torah Erev is sponsored anonymously by Zchus Hashvuim VaChayolim BaMilchamo, Sheyachzru Levoteihem LeShalom B'Meheiro.
Good morning. Apologies for the delay. I actually was in the wrong location at 8:30, wondering why everyone had emptied out. So, as we kind of embark on our journey of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we know the halacha is, we say in the Seda, V'chol d'r'der chayv adam liris esatzmoy kiluhu yotzim Mitzrayim. In every generation, we need to see ourselves as if we came out of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That in itself is a very interesting concept. When it comes to the moshel, lighting the Chanukah licht, we don't need to see, it's not in every generation we're supposed to see that as we light the menorah, we imagine ourselves in the Beis HaMikdash after rekindling Chanukah Sabbath. We know that that's what happened, and now we do this. In fact, that's what we say on Kiddush tonight, and throughout literally almost everything that we touch, from Rosh Hashanah to Tfilas on Yom Neiroim to davening every Yom Tov, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everything's a Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Usually we understand it. This is something which we remember. This is what happened 3,339 years ago. And we come and we celebrate it, we commemorate it. We have the matzahs tomorrow, Al Shem. It's all in the remembrance of. But yet when it comes to this mitzvah, there's the mitzvah of Ki'ilu Hu Yotzim Mitzrayim. Why? In fact, there are times when it's like we Tamida Yosim Mikulam, when you are put in a position, I'm sure we've all been there, where someone asks you a question, and it's such an obvious question, and sometimes it comes from a child, or from a Talmud, or someone at the office, and it takes someone from the outside with a fresh pair of eyes to ask a question that you think, you know what, that's actually a really good question. And that happened to me on our Seder night in 2012, when my daughter, who was 7 at the time, in front of a long Seder table of, there were quite a few sons. I don't think they want to reshow him there, but there were quite a few sons. Definitely quite a few She'eni Yedei Lishoels. And my daughter at the time, 7 years old, we're in the middle of talking about the story of the Seder and Tzias Mitzrayim and the Makkos, and she says, Daddy, what are we celebrating here tonight? I was like, well, that was a waste of school fees. It's Seder night. She says, no, what are we celebrating here tonight? We're celebrating Yetzias Mitzrayim, like coming out of Mitzrayim. So I told her, Yetzihinu Hashem Mishom Biot Chazoko Bizroi Natuya. What do you mean, what are we celebrating here tonight? She says, but Daddy, who put us in Mitzrayim? Right? And the whole table goes quiet. It's like, we thank Hashem for all the Yeshuas. This last Moitz Shabbos, this morning, we have the news. This last Moitz Shabbos, unbelievable nissim for the Floyds, that we're so busy getting prepared for Pesach and getting on with everyday life. That something as probably as miraculous as the six-day war, where everyone saw the Yeshuas over a prolonged period of 6 days, happen on Moitz Shabbos. But then again, who allowed Iran to even send the 300 missiles over? So we have a Yeshua when someone gets really ill, and then they come out of hospital and they say, thank the Rebbeinu Shleilam, Baruch Hashem, all I've got is lost one leg. What do you mean? You've lost one leg and now you're still alive, but Hashem was the one who gave it to you. And it's an obvious question, but we're brought up with, Hoydel Hashem ki tokirem chazdoi. But you have to ask that question. If the Rebbeinu Shleilam put us in, then what are we celebrating? The fact that he take us out? Of course he should take us out. He shouldn't have put us in there in the first place. So, talking about the Hakei Ashinov, and I think the title of the talk was taking ourselves out of our own personal Mitzrayim. I think that maybe we just need to zoom out a little bit and look at where we stand today, how we relate to Western civilization and the society that we find ourselves in today, how we view the enemies of Klal Yisrael and our own personal challenges, and maybe through that we'll come to have an understanding of the Chayav Adam Liris Esatzmoy. So, talking about awkward moments, there's been many. In fact, I could probably write a book about awkward moments of my time in JLE in terms of questions that are asked in front of people, things which you don't know the answers to. By the way, when I did, I was doing, I learned by Rabbi Yitzchak Berkovitz, one of the things very powerful that he taught us, which I think is so important, he said that a lot of times when you ask the question, if you're giving a shir or something, then people will ask you a question. You feel you must give them an answer. He said the most powerful answer is to be honest with them. If you tacka don't know, say, I don't know, that's a great question. Let me take you to my Rosh Hashiva. What we're supposed to know everything. Part of shteiking is that you're on a journey, you don't know. Tacka, the best boch in the yeshiva is the boch who asks the question that there isn't an answer to. Not the one who you can answer simply. But this was a hard question. It was a couple of years later, it was 2014, where again we're sitting there. And actually, funny enough, Seder night has been a really interesting night in our house, because often people come and they'll even bring their parents who've never been to a Seder before. I told you once about the guy who knocked on my door just as we were, if I didn't, I have to tell you just because it's about to be Seder night, but very briefly, that we were going through a Seder and said, Kol dichvin yesiv yechel. So my son asked me, he said, what do you mean? That we had two Seder nights, one when we have guests, one we didn't have guests. So my son turns to me, he says, this was the night when we had no guests. So it's just the family. My son turns to me, says, Kol dichvin yesiv yechel, now you're inviting them? Again, it's a small boy, 6 or 7 years old. So as I was trying to figure out a good answer as to tackle why we were saying it, or tell him the answer that I thought, there is a knock on the door. And the guy knocks on and he says, Elu, am I here for the Seder? And he thought that he'd got the nights wrong. And of course, he said, of course we're waiting for you. And he looks around the room, he wants to know where everyone else was that he was told. He had a boy from France who was in university at the time. And anyway, he comes down, he puts his AirPods next to the Haggadah, an iPod, whatever. And he stayed. And eventually, the truth is, he went off to Eretz Yisrael and went to learn for a long time. And he's from a younger man today, which is actually an amazing story. But coming to that other awkward moment, this Seder night, so we've got the four sons. So everyone understands the Chacham. From a secular pair of eyes, just think for a second, the Chacham we understand. Sheni Yedei Lishol, we understand. Even a Tom, many people can relate to that. But our harsh response to the Rosha of Hakeyes Shinov is really unforgivable. From a PC, woke world, what do you mean? And the truth is, even if you speak to many mechanchim today, they would say, you know, punching someone's teeth, I know that's how I was brought up, but punching someone's teeth, because they asked the apikorsish a question, you know, is not necessarily the way that you're going to make care of people. So, you know, what is it? What is this Hakeyes Shinov? Where does this come from? It seems very strange. One of my favorite sugyas to learn with people who are getting into learning for the first time is Avodin Ashtin and Afshein in the Hamineach and Baba Kama. And the reason is because it's very hard when you learn with people. Some of the people that I learn with who are Bali Tshuva, or not yet Bali Tshuva, are very, very bright. In fact, I can learn a Reb Chaim with them and they're mamash holding, right? But one thing they can't do is if it's exerts cost, if you learn Kodshim with someone who's never learned Gemara before and they want to have an input, they just have to sit there and accept. Well, it's a Kosov, as always, like, what are they going to say? But if you learn, for example, Baba Kama, or Baba Metzia, or Baba Basra, then there's taka logic. It's something which people can give their own. And that's the truth is that I heard once from Victor Miller that the whole way we're supposed to learn Gemara is to challenge the way we think to the way the Rebbeinu Shleim thinks. Like, you ask yourself, what would I have thought? And one of the yesodos of Limud HaTorah is to see the way the Rebbeinu Shleim views the world, right? So it's like, you think, as an example, in the world that we live today, if my kid knocks his football into the neighbor's window, then the neighbor comes around and says, your son, 12 years old, he smashed my window. Right? If the neighbor's cat comes and smashes the milk bottle, okay, when I'm talking about 3 years ago, like that, dating myself, but I think I'm amongst friends, the glass bottle outside the door, then you say, oh, it's the neighbor's cat, what can you do? What does the Torah say? Cotton shehizik, totally potter. And shur shehizik, yechayev. Right? So we think, oh, it's the neighbor's cat. So the whole purpose when you learn something like this is like, oh, wow, I would have thought this, what did Rebbeinu Shleim say? And the lesson behind it is that our cats are our monetary possession and our children are not. Right? It's also a limit in that. We don't own our children. The Rebbeinu Shleim is saying your cat you own and your child you don't own. Your child you mechuyav to be mechanachim, but you can't hold responsibility if he plays a board. Taka, you're not mechuyav to pay. So One of the sugyos which I enjoy learning is Ovid Inish Din El Nafshei. Everyone gets into it, taking the law into your own hands. It's an interesting idea of whether you can, whether you can't. Going back to the question that was asked at my Seder table, is, Rabbi, what do you mean, Hakei Shinov? Like, what are you doing? What type of, you know, we come to JLE and people are so nice, they give us a kiddush and they learn with us and put their arm around us. Are you telling us that really what you want to do is blunt our teeth? Right? So the Gemara says, there's machlikes where the Ovedin Shdil Nafshei, and without going into the whole sugya now, the Gemara says, the Gemara wants to bring a raya to Ovedin Shdil Nafshei because it says that when someone takes something which is not rightfully theirs, then you can, and this is an interesting word that's used, you can shavur eshinov. Ben Bagwagim, Altikonis Lachosachar Chalitel Shalchosh, Liver Shoshan Tirlov Kaganov, Ella Shavur Eshinov, Emor Loy Shalayanit Natal. So you see, arrive from there that Ovidin Shil Nafshay, you can take the law into your own hands because someone's taken something not yours, go and break their teeth. You don't need to go to base, then you can just go and take the law into your own hands. So the Gemara's answer is no, my Shavur Eshinov Badin. You have to break his teeth in Beis Din, which is a hard understanding. It's a bit of a doichet to understand Shavur Eshinov Badin. Well, and anyway, whatever you understand that it's in Beis Din, you're breaking the teeth. Why does it use this loshon of teeth? So you have by the Rosha Hakei Eshinov, and you have by this Rosha Shavur Eshinov in Beis Din. In fact, in the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Kamma, then we have our Bavos Nezikin, Asher V'Abor V'Mavah V'Hever. So the Gemara comes on base. The Gemara asks, "My Maver, Rav Amar Maver Z'Adam, Shmuel Amar Maver Z'Shen." So it's Machlok is what the word Maver means. Is Maver Adam a person who damages, or is Maver Shen? And the Gemara brings a raya that Maver is Shen from Eich Nichpesu Esav Nivu Matzpunov. Something to do with the Rosha Esav. And Esav's got to do with teeth. It's a strange thing. In fact, we see Esav himself, when he came with the equivalent of today's American military, the Pasuk says, Vayishakehu, and it's Nokud Lamaila. It says that he came to kiss him. He came to bite him. Let's just imagine this. We've got the general of the American military coming to fight, or the Iranian military, whichever one you want to use, the most powerful military in the world, he's coming to fight Yaakov, and they become like children in a playground. I'm going to bite you, and then it didn't come out as a bite, it comes out as a kiss. It's a very strange thing. So, I came across the most amazing Kliokar, which I think opens up this whole sugya, and actually sheds light on everything we were talking about.
Hakei Shinov can be also weakened.
But the thing is, you're right, it could be. The question is, why use this word of Shinov at all? And what's teeth got to do with the Rosha? We see that throughout, we've got this repetition.
Why did they attack you with what you're saying?
He's coming to attack.
What you're saying, so is he coming to bite you?
He came to bite you, so you should bite him.
Not bite you, but fighting back with your answers.
But fighting back is not the same as blunting teeth. I'm saying it's. That means there's many ways. I would say, if you want to say, respond.
Blunting is tiniest.
Let me put my hat on for a second. Someone tells me you've got a Rosha in the house, yeah? What would we do today? That's really the question. What would we do if we had a Rosha in the house? You would attack or fight him?
Not fight him. He's trying to tell him what is the rubbish you're doing here.
Not
Hakeshinov.
Yeah. So respond to him. But it's a funny... Look, I don't know. I wouldn't have used the word teeth when it came to this. That's what I'm saying. Maybe you would. I personally wouldn't use the word teeth when I'm responding to someone's question. Someone's this. I say, yes, it's a good question, or get out of my classroom, whatever. The blunting of the teeth seems to be a funny thing. So I came across this... Yeah.
She had sharp teeth originally.
So you're blunting those sharp teeth.
He was a clever guy, this guy.
Yeah. Okay, let me have a look at this thing. We've got a Kliokar in here. Yeah. Here we go. So the Kliokar at the beginning of Parashas Mishpatim when it's talking about I used to in the Koros Gedolos with vowels in. I don't know this. Yeah, the pasuk talks about the Eved Ivri and the Am Ivriya. They leisaitse could say salvodim. They don't go out like the way the other that Eved Kanani goes out. Why? Because the Eved Ivri, Eved Kanani, he goes out b'shem v'ayin, which is actually the Rosh Yevarim. But the Eved Kanani, he goes out as soon as you knock out a tooth and an eye, which is in itself a funny thing. But did you clap that? It's when you knock out his tooth or his eye. Very strange thing. Again, the word tooth, the Eved Kanani goes out. It's this Esav, he goes out with tooth and eye, but Klal Yisrael don't. Why? So the Kliyoker asks, why is the difference between the Eved Kanani and Eved Ivri? So it says, Ka'avodim Ketanim Kanani ha'yotze b'shem v'ayin. The Eved Kanani goes out with Shem v'ayin, but the Yid, Eved Ashesh, Ado Yevul. So he wants to give, Lefum Riyati Litin Tam L'chol Inyon Echiris Eilu Be'Eved Ivri O'Yevriya Kanani. Why? Lefisha Kol Kanani Sheli Nogalov Ur HaTorah. Any Kanani, which means any person in the world, today, ein loy tachlis acher. The whole purpose of his creation is kiim lasis bakesev azov v'litzber bor kechol ayom v'lasis choyel. The whole purpose of his life is to wake up in the morning, make money, spend it, consume it, and eat it. And in fact, uvavur zehu eses atzmoi kechamor noisimaso. He'll make himself into literally a donkey. Very eved nirtza. The Eved Kanani, he sells himself for one purpose and one purpose only. It's to be able to eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you may die. And therefore, if you want to know what is called a Mekach Tos, is if I no longer have an Ayin to be Chaymed and a Shen, if I no longer have teeth to consume this world, then life is not worth living, and in fact, I would never have sold myself. Says the Rebbeinu Shleilam, as soon as he knocks out his teeth or his eye, he can't even enjoy this world to that maximum. Just one tooth. It's just not worth it for me. Literally like Haman. It's just, he can have everything. That's the yisod of Ulchet. You can be like Adam and Chava in Gan Eden. You can have everything, but just that one thing. That's the Haman HaTerminai and Hamin HaEtazai. You can have everything. Just that one thing you can't have. The Esav can't fagin. Mordechai, by the way, is Rotzi L'Roi Vechov. He's Mordechai Yehudi. He lives with gratitude. He lives with the gratitude of the Rebbeinu Shleilam taking him out of Mitzrayim. Yes, he might not understand the things which don't work out, but he lives with gratitude. Whereas the Haman, or the Rosha, or the Esav, or the Amalek, they live with one focus, to enjoy everything to the max. And if they even don't have one shen, one ayin, calls in a shoveli, says the Torah, you go out. It was Taka Mekachtoz. The clause in the contract was that I will enjoy everything to the maximum. But that is not the way that Yaakov it lives. He's not after fantasies. He's Kim Kadeshia Havi Sheva Ravan Besai. The Eved Ivri, he sells himself, or the Am Ivri is being sold, just posh it to be able to live. They go, they try and make a parnasa, and then they go back to the Beis Medrash to learn. They're not there to enjoy the consumerism to the max. And therefore, even if you knock out his tooth, or you knock out his eye, he still stays. This Kliyokar, I think, is the answer to all the questions that we asked. Because what the yesod of the Kliyokar is, that there are two ways we can engage with Olam Hazeh. There's Olam Hazeh L'Shem Olam Hazeh, which is Esav, consumerism, buy, eat, drink. Like my grandmother used to say when she was younger, you know, they used to buy one clock for the house, and it would last your whole life. You bought one watch on this, and nowadays the consumerism to the extreme, where we see American culture of like you buy, then you use, and forget, you don't want to have something that lasts too long because you want to eat it and then buy it and then get the next one. If you want to know where do we know Shen from, it's Eichnech Besu Esav Nivul Matzpunov. It's Esav. Esav is those teeth. Esav is that consumerism. He might portray himself with a mouth in front of the teeth, but the whole purpose of everything is to use this world. In fact, that's why Esav says, Lomani b'chir, like, I don't need this. I don't need to have the b'chir, because for Esav, what's the point of waiting for something tomorrow? He wants to eat it now. He prefers to have a bowl of lentil soup than to wait for something greater tomorrow. Deferred gratification, it's called. Whereas Yaakov, He is then left. I heard from Rosh Hashpura that Yaakov was supposed to be Olam Haba and Esav was supposed to be Olam Hazah. And what was supposed to be is Esav's Olam Hazah was going to serve Yaakov Ishtom. Yaakov is not supposed to have all these, this whole wealth and everything. That's why Esav asks him in a surprise. Because he's like, how come you have all this? Like, what is that? Right? Because Be'etzem, Yaakov was supposed to be in the base marriage and Esav. But when Esav failed and wasn't going to support Yaakov, like Yisoch HaZvonon, then Yaakov had to go and create this Olam Hazah L'Shem Olam Haba, which is, by the way, throughout history, part of the anti-Semitism that we suffer from, Hitler himself said, is because we have created conscience, circumcision on the body and conscience on the soul. What is conscience? Conscience is that this is here for a purpose. Klal Yisrael are constantly looking for the purpose. We might call it Jewish guilt, but it's the inverse of Jewish guilt, is the purpose of what we're doing, what we're trying to elevate here. Olam Hazah L'Shem Olam Haba. That is really the Yesod HaMachlokes between Esav and Yaakov. And in fact, that's why when Esav comes, when Esav comes with a mighty military, he wants to take his shen and overpower him. He wants to overcome Yaakov and show how he won, how his shen, how his consumerism, how his ideology overcomes Yaakov. And it comes out Be'eshakeo because the night before, already Yaakov with the Malach of Esav has overcome him. Except for the Gidan Osher, Yaakov spiritually has shown that his way, his Mahalach is correct. And therefore it comes out as a kiss. So, why, by Ovidinish Dilan Avshed, it say Shvereshinov? Perhaps, maybe the Peshat is, because why would anyone steal? If you think about it, if someone's living with a Munna, right, you're not going to steal. If someone's living that, I'm going, like the Eved Ivri, he goes, his tooth gets knocked out, his eye gets knocked out, what can you do? You go again, you try again. If the Rebbe wants me to have it, I'll have it. The only way that someone is going to go tikanis lachatz chavercha litale shelcha, yeah, the only way that you're going to, someone else is going to walk into trespass in someone's field and try and steal is only because of one thing: the consumerism of this world has engulfed him. He wants to eat and not rely on the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Says the Gemara of Avodin Shleilam Shei Shavereshinov, break those teeth, that consumerism that drives him. So perhaps that's the pshat. Because the Rosha presents himself with questions on Emunah. So in fact, I would say, so answer those questions, debate those questions, show him how the questions don't start, how it's impossible just that over billions of years, this is what happened, the probability of one book being typed by a typewriter or monkeys, it's not going to happen. Just show him an intellectual counter-argument. But the answer, says the Baal HaGadah, is that what's driving this Rosha is not Emuna questions. What's driving him is Esav's consumerism. In fact, many times when people today come with Emuna questions, it's very obvious. Rochanan himself writes in Kiruz Ma'amorim, he says that how can we expect a 13-year-old boy to have Emuna when Aristotle couldn't figure out, you know, whether there was a brain shalom? He says, no. Aristotle could easily have figured out the brain shalom. You see a creation, you know there's a creator. It's just a very simple thing. He was blinded with this sheikhad of wanting to be able to consume and enjoy this world without any conscience. So in Mela, he didn't want to believe it. But says Rosh Hashanah, of course, every bar mitzvah boy should, and you see a creation, you know there's a creator, it's a very posh tazach. So when this Rosh comes and he says, my Vodah Zayis Lachem, says Baal HaGadah, very simple, Hakei es Shinov, blunt those teeth, show him how living a life just for Shinov, just for consumerism is nothing. Show him how there's an emptiness inside of you. That what you're thinking, which is blinding you to ask all these questions, show them how with a life without purpose and without meaning is nothing. And in Mela, he will come closer to it. We ask this question of, why is it Chayav Adam Lirisas Meki'idu Hu Yotzav Mitzrayim? In fact, I think in the Bidam and Haggadah, he says this, and I've had some crazy stories. In fact, one last year that happened, where I said over this idea, and the person had a major Yeshua. But it's brought down from the Mekubalim that because we are going out of Mitzrayim, because on Seder night, Mamash Chayav Adam Lirisas Meki'idu Hu Yotzav Mitzrayim, is that because we are going out of Mitzrayim, what is that? What is going on? What is their energy? Mitzrayim is the Mitzorah. Mitzrayim are all those boundaries, all those things that hold us back, all the Shinov that we live in that blinds us from seeing the reality. And the Yetzias Mitzrayim, every year, we're mamash going, like Gavdesa says, like that spiral staircase, the energy, we are going through our own Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Rabbi Edelman brings down his Haggadah, and I'll tell you what happened last year. Rabbi Edelman brings down in his Haggadah that at the point of Vanitzak, where Kalei Yisrael crying out, if you stop your Seder and you daven, you can see massive Yeshuas. I said this over punk, I think, before. Yes, yeah, I said it over this idea, but it's so important. I've seen Mamich. Last year, I was in a SAID program here in the UK, and parents came over who hadn't had children for 6-7 years. And they said, do you have anything? So I just told them over this thing. And exactly 9 months later, after the Seder, 9 months and 3 days something, they had a child. They've been waiting for 7 years. Because what's happening at the time of the Seder night, what's happening is that we are going out of our own Yetzias Mitzrayim, is because, Taka, like what my daughter asked, who put us in there in the first place? Real emunah is to understand that we don't know what is right from wrong. The whole Yesodus of what's good from bad. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells us, we don't know. We see a cat and a child, we don't know. We have no idea. We see the world one way, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam sees it another way. The purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the whole Yesodus emunah is, Yosef is sold by his brothers, tragedy. Turns out he feeds the entire Mitzrayim. Then he's reunited with his father. You can imagine the front page of the Cairo Times. Unbelievable, so great. And that's the beginning of Shiva Mitzrayim. After 400 years of slavery, they go out. And what's that, the beginning of going through the Midbar and the Eger? We don't know what is good and what is bad. That is the whole lesson of when we come out from Purim, going through to Pesach. That is what Geula is. Geula is to see the earth and the Choshech, that you're not sure whether it's Oraham or Baruch Mordechai. You don't know anymore. That is the whole purpose of what it means to live as a Yid, is that we live totally in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's hands. Is it good for them to retaliate against Iran? Is it not good? Do we know? Do we not know? The Rebbeinu Shel Olam knows the good, the bad, the ugly. We aren't in a place or position to be able to decide that. The whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is Chayv Adam Liris Asmoy, Kilu Hu Yotzim Mitzrayim, to understand that in the same way the Rebbeinu Shel Olam puts us in our own personal Mitzrayim, the purpose is the challenge. Like a personal trainer says, come on, let's see you do it from 5 kilo to 7 kilo. Come on, let's see you. Oh, who put me in the gym in the first place? Yeah, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam put you there, but it's there for us to grow, to the Kor Barazel, to have our own Yetzias Mitzrayim, and to be able to smash out of it the same way that it happened then. And if we're Zoicha do that, then the Hakei Shinov is to that. All of us have that four children inside of us. We all at different parts of our day and our lives have those different elements of us. And when we get blinded to do Averis and Chet, it's only because of the Shen which is inside us, that consumerism that drives us. And the purpose of the Yetzias Mitzrayim is Chayadon Liris Atzmi, Kiluhu is Mitzrayim, because this is not a commemoration. Yes, we have Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim the rest of the year. But on the night of Leil Seder, we are actually have an ability and an energy to break through our own personal boundaries and to have the same Yeshua that we had there. B'nissan Nigalu, B'nissan Asid Nigal, B'ez Hashem B'Zeicha, to the Geulah Shleimah from here of Yomeinu. Amen.
I can very, very humbly add to the Purim HaChashivim from our speaker that Shinov actually represents something very specific about Esau, because Chazal tell us that he was born with teeth, and in the same way that he was hairy, because he was under the philosophy of Osu, Esau, it means Osu, that he is made. He is complete. That means that there's no particular route for him or path for him to achieve in this world, because he's already a finished, complete product. And Myla, you see that there's something very unique about the human species, that all the animals are born with teeth. You never saw a cow arrive into the world and can't tear the grass out of the ground, and neither will you see a chimpanzee running around with, who can't eat a banana after being born a day. A human being, however, is very unique in that, because not only has he got no teeth, but when his first teeth come, which are the milk teeth, they are subsequently replaced by proper molars and the teeth which stay with him for life. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, even in the nature of the human being, is showing that the man is there for the purpose of development. He starts with an ability to grow. And even if he has no teeth, but he will have teeth. And when those teeth are eventually lost in his childhood, they will be replaced by proper teeth. And Maila, that means the Osu. Since Esav, according to the Medrash, was Taka born with his teeth, and he was hairy, and he was a fully fledged man at the point of growth, that fits in perfectly with the Mahalach of the Rusha, who says, cooking on the floor, kriechen, looking for chometz on the nooks and crannies. Go out there, it's a fabulous world. Go to Las Vegas, enjoy life and cash in. Shigene, you're going to be eating these little bits of biscuits and matzahs and paying 50 quid a box for them. You're out of your mind. So he says, Mu avoytu azos lochem, that is the philosophy. So he said to him, Raboisa, hakeyes shinov, point out to him the teeth. The teeth is the key answer to him, to explain to him that you're not really complete when you're born. And you're not a finished product. Avuraya, you can see that you're born without teeth. So there is a journey out there. There's a quest for you to get somewhere, to grow, to become something more. Memaida, that's again another knaich to the same gewaltig yesod. But you want to hear another word on Hagud? You want to hear on Sedr? Okay, so we'll say something very, very short about the this week, about the Eitz Erez. And the korbunas which are brought by the metzora include those ingredients of the Eitz Erez, which is usually translated as cedar wood, no? Which is a very, very tall tree. And then you've got the shnitolas, which is a very lowly, small piece of grass which grows there. And the two, and those are brought together, and you put. And the Eizov, Eizov. Which is a low grass. So Rashi explains there, the fish and the guim buim al gasas riach. One of the primary reasons that the person is suffering from leprosy, from tzuras in the first place, is because the person is haughty and is arrogant and is full of himself. Therefore, mate kantor v'yisrape. What actually is the key factor that will help him to overcome the tzuras? Yashpiras atzme megavuse. Let him make himself lower. Decrease, diminish himself, the gavuse from his haughtiness, from his arrogance, ketolas, like this small worm, a keizov, and like this lowly bit of grass. Freg the heiliges Vasemes, moire de kekash. He says, okay, you want him to be lowly, then let him bring the eight eres. But why would you ask him to bring the Ezov is symbolic of the lowliness. But what's the purpose of him having the Eitz Erez? Eitz Erez is exactly what he's trying to run away from. If you're meramez on the gava, then why would you bring the kavuna? What would you bring the cedar wood into the picture altogether? So he answers that when a person is choyzer b'tshiva and he really repents and he really reflects on the past and he thinks about the chaturim which he has sinned with, then he comes to a place where he feels inwardly, he reflects about the bisha and the bizoyan and the humiliation that he was in, a place that not only was he sinning, but he was in a place of arrogance. He didn't even want to apply himself to recognize against who he's sinning and what he's doing. That's a mirdike gave. But from that place, he now reflects on why he needs to become so lowly and so diminished and so humble in himself. And therefore, that is actually a vehicle, it's a catalyst for the person to reach in his korban, and therefore in that korban, to bring it to complete place of completion, he would have to, like Rashi says, bring the Eitz Erez Eshni Selas V'Eizel, because that will help him towards the Shiflus Ariach when he reflects upon where he's come from this high, arrogant place. And then he thinks to himself, was I really of the opinion that I was not answerable to anybody and I was so full of myself? Therefore, says the Sfasemus, that's part of the reason why it has to be inherent in that. So Rabbi Bebinim from Shisra added to that, Moir Zikazach, Pusik says, in Davening we say, Mashpil Gayim Adai Uretz, Magbia Shefulim Adai Mure. Mashpil Gayim Adai Uretz, he takes the haughty and he brings them down to the ground. In Magbia Shefulim, those ones which are humble and he brings them up, Adai Mure. So he asks, Sachshve, if you want to tell me that he's Mashpil Gayim, so of course, arrogance and haughtiness is really a despicable characteristic. So therefore, he's brought down. But the person who's down there, why would you bring him right up there? What's the purpose of that? He's very happy where he is. He's enjoying a good middah. He's humble. He's lowly with himself. What's the purpose of bringing him up there? So he says, Rabbi Rabinam, that's just it. The person who's genuinely in a place where he's humble, wherever you'll place him, however high you'll put him, he knows the truth. and it won't affect him. So the Rebbein Shalom wants to give him the gift to show, look, he's now being brought from a lowly place right up there. He was a Schnorrer, Uraman, a Pentak, and now he became this whopping max millionaire. But when he gives tzuka, he gives it with such humility. And when he spends his money, you don't see in him one drop of haughtiness. So therefore he can be Magbiya Shefulim Ademurahim. And the Baal Shem Tov has a master, very briefly, that he came to Polna, where he was there for Shabbos, and he came in a very nice, elegant stagecoach with horses. And they criticized him, some of the cast, which were against the Chassidim, and they said to the Baal Shem Tov, some bright guy to come with such a fancy stagecoach and with white horses, what's going on here? So he says, you know, there was once a king, and the king heard that there is a way how to reach a place that you can live forever. And he heard that there is some herb or something that you can eat or consume or do in order to achieve this, that you should be immortal. Until one chucham said to the king, you know, I can't tell you of such a vegetable or some sort of fruit which will help you towards this goal, but at the end of the day, if you will be humble, really, really humble, then that is a skiller to live forever. So the king said, if that's the case, I'm going to do that. And instead of going and sitting in this magnificent coach with the horses, he went behind it, and he walked behind the coach with his king, with his crown, and he's walking behind to show that he's a big unav, and he's very, very humble. And the trouble is that all the time that he was walking behind the coach, he was convincing himself, you see, I'm really a king of a superpower. And look at this, what an unav I am, that I'm walking behind this coach and I'm not even enjoying the pleasures of sitting in that comfy sofa at the back of it. So can you see the level of my humility? It's mind-boggling. And then eventually this chucham who gave him the idea said to the king, he whispered in his ear, my dear king, let me point out to you that it's not going to help you to stand behind the coach and convince yourself of what one of you are. The whole chokhmah of the humility is that you'll sit inside the coach, enjoy the warmth and the plush fur seats, and remember when you're sitting there that you are gunisht mit gunisht, and that you are ein ve'eves hamuchlat. That in itself would be something which will not be displayed outside, it will be entirely inside you. And that's the nekid of the Metzorah also. Mm-hmm. The Eitz Eres is there, even though there is the cedar wood, this high almighty thing, but remember that the bottom line is the Eisef. Chapter.
What my Google wants is they want to have the very quickly, they do
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Y